Hello, and welcome back to What's the Chinese Tea? I'm your host, Sammy Chimanga, back with another episode. Again, thank you guys so much for all the feedback you guys have been giving. What's the Chinese Tea? I'm very appreciative. Like I said, I'm very overwhelmed with the responses that you guys have been giving me. So again, thank you, 谢谢你, which is thank you in Mandarin. So last week's episode, we talked about what you'll need to teach in China. This week's episode is all about the money, which is why a lot of us move out here is because the money looks right. Do you want to know the real tea on this money? Stay tuned. Okay, so you made the decision, you got your papers in order, you got the, you know, everything. So when it comes to money, I'm going to talk about three things. I'm going to talk about how much money you should bring, how much money you should ask for in your contract. And the third thing about money is how to send money home. So let's get started. First one, money. You decided you're going to come. You got the job you wanted. Now you got to bring yourself over here, but you're not sure with how much money you will need. I will say this. Depending on the situation, the circumstances you are coming here on. So if you manage to get a job that provides you free housing, you do not have to pay rent. Therefore, you don't have to pay a deposit. You don't have to pay the agent fee. You just show up with your bags at your place. If that's the case, I would say anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000 will suffice you to get you through the first month and a half, because just like anywhere else, when you go somewhere and you haven't worked, you're gonna, you know, your first paycheck is not gonna be a full paycheck. So you gotta wait another additional month to get it, your first entire month's paycheck. So I would say anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000 will suffice you. Now, if you are in a smaller city, obviously you could probably get away with a grand. I came here with $850, and that lasted me literally 2.5 months. And that's because my boss was literally not only taking us out to eat everywhere, my rent was paid. I don't have transportation fees because from my house to school is literally like a 4-minute walk. So I wasn't having to catch a Didi, I wasn't having to catch the subway or the metro or anything like that. So I was able to pocket a lot of money. So $850 would suffice for me. But if you're in a city where you might have to take public transportation or you're going to have to take a cab, you know, you have to factor those costs into how much you bring, as well as food, as well as settling in, buying things for your apartment. Some schools will hook you up with a, what they call a resettlement allowance, which I was not fortunate enough, but I definitely know what to look for in my next package. So I would say anywhere roughly from like $600 to $2,000 in that range is a nice healthy cushion. Now, that's how much you should bring. Come in, you got your money. Okay. Now, how much should I ask for is probably what you're asking, or how much can I make? How much can you make definitely is based on your qualifications, your negotiation skills, and the city you live in. China is set up in 4 tiers, tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, till tier 4. Tier 1, you're Shanghai, Beijing, Shenzhen. I think Guangzhou might have actually made that list now. Guangzhou. Tier 2, you have Chengdu, Xi'an. Who else do you have? Like other cities. So it's just based on cities. I'm in a tier 4 city. So like low and low. So cost of living is super cheap. Super, super cheap. There's some certain things like that are a little expensive. They just, actually where I'm recording the podcast, they have a coffee shop. that just opened up. It's a little more on the expensive side, but that's probably the only really expense that I have. So give or take, if you are a native, you have a TEFL, you have a bachelor's degree, you can make anywhere from 12,000 RMB, which is the equivalent to about 1,700, anywhere to 17,000 RMB, which is about 2,500. That's your range that you have no experience, you have a TEFL, you have a bachelor's, that's it. You can make between that healthy range. Now, once you start bringing your qualifications, now you have experience, you've taught, you have a teaching certificate. Now we're going to start looking at 20s, 30s even. You have a master's. You know, obviously, if you have a teaching credential, it's assumed you have a master's. You also have experience. We're going to start looking at 25, 30-ish range. Now, every contract is going to be different based on the school. Everyone knows now that international schools are where the big money is because you're dealing with just a prestigious school and there's a lot of investors and there's an elite situation of being at an international school. So you're going to get paid not only a lot more, your benefits. The benefits is where literally you want your money to go. So benefits meaning the vacation time. China has I kid you not, being here, I've never had so many holidays unsolicited. Like there's like a holiday every month for something. I don't know. I just know I have 3 days off. So a lot of standard packages is you get all Chinese holidays off. You might get social insurance. You get an additional 10 unpaid days off. So quote, I call those mental health days. If I'm just like, I'm not with the shits, I'm not trying to do the whole teaching thing today, I'll take one of those days off. As well as if housing is included, if housing is not included, how much is your stipend? So these are things you should look for in your contracts, like explicitly. The thing with the Chinese people is they will try to fancy the words, but you just need to know how to kind of outsmart them. Yeah, I said it. Outsmart these people. Get your money. So make sure your benefits package looks right. And if you are unclear or unsure, there are so many resources. There are so many people out here. If you're on Facebook, join the Brothers and Sisters of China group. They definitely will tell you, honey, they are lowballing you. Like literally, I thought I was making decent money until I got into the WeChat group and people were explaining, saying their figures. And I was like, holy shit, I'm making nothing. So I started kind of looking at I redid my resume and started shooting out. And the offers I was starting to get were like double what I'm making now. So I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Fuck these people. I'm out of here. So absolutely just talk to people. That's definitely, everyone I say has their first year woes where you just are unsure. So you just kind of take what they give you until you start. You kind of have been in China for a little bit. You are acclimated with some people. You can start having conversations about money. Here's one part of the Chinese tea I'm about to tell y'all. Money is not taboo here. In America, it's kind of like, I don't want to say bad juju, but more so like impolite to discuss how much you make. Here, everyone will throw around their figures. It's literally not a big deal. Like, oh, and they will feel comfortable asking you, how much do you make? And it's like, you're looking like, excuse me, that's my personal business. Money is not taboo here. So don't, if you come here, just be prepared that people will outright ask you, how much are you making? With no shame. That's like not a thing in America. You're not going to ask me how much I make, especially if in the event I'm making more than you or in the event you're making more than me and we're doing the same job. It causes conflict in the workplace. That's ideally why people do not discuss salary. But here, oh yeah, people tell you. People tell you it's not weird. It's not forbidden. It's not looked down upon. And if anything, it's very encouraged because that way people can kind of see the market. What, okay, this person is making this much, but this person is making this. Like, you're able to kind of gauge for yourself, right? And so what I would say is 12 to 17 is a good little, you know, again, this is literally, you have no experience to your name. You literally just got your bag, your TEFL, and your BA. After that, like I said, credentials will start to speak for you. That's when you could start asking for more money. And as well as depending on the city. Now, if you're in Beijing, 12,000 is shit. 12,000 is nothing. That is not going to get you anywhere. That I don't even think that's going to get you through the month. Now, you could probably be comfortable and ask for 17 to 20 because you're in Beijing, and Beijing's a tier one city, and the cost of living is higher. So yeah, you're going to ask for a little more. But 12,000 in my city, and even some tier three cities, will be like, shit, you're balling. You know what I'm saying? So definitely keep that in mind. Don't take me as saying that, oh, I have to ask for 12 to 17 is all I can ask for. No, because if you, like I said, if you're in Shanghai, 12,000 is getting you nowhere, absolutely nowhere, unless you have like six roommates and your school is next door, maybe, and you cook. But if you're living by yourself and you have to take transportation and you have to eat, guess what? 12,000 in Shanghai, 12,000 in Beijing, 12,000 in Shenzhen is a joke and a half. It's not happening. No, don't do it. So I just said that as a range. Don't take it as like God staple type of thing or take it as Bible. Just take it as like a guide. Like, okay, you know, this is what ideally, and then obviously tweak it based off of where you are in China. So I talked about how much you should bring here, how much you should be looking to ask for. And the third thing is expat question, an FAQ. How do I send money home? Because everyone usually has bills that they still have to pay while overseas. Some folks have a car note. Why? I don't know. I got rid of my car note before I got on the plane. But anyways, that is none of my business. Anyway. So some folks might have a mortgage. Some people might still have credit card bills, or the reason why 90% of us are here is to pay our student loan debts off. But you're wondering, how can you send money home? Here's the thing in China, and I'm just going, let me get my coffee, let me get my tea, let me tell y'all what it really is. China has what they call a closed currency, meaning that literally they want their money to stay put. It stays within the country. It's not like other currencies where you can kind of finagle and you can leave it, come back, leave it, come back. No, China is a closed currency. They want to, that's literally how they grow their economy. They keep their currency closed. So it gets a little tricky to try to send money overseas. Now, there are several ways to send money home. One way to send money home is PayPal. If you have an American PayPal account, you can come into China and open a Chinese PayPal account, and you can link your Chinese bank card to your Chinese PayPal, just like you have your American PayPal and your American bank card. Once you get those things, you can switch the money. However, the fees are ridiculously high. I mean, I don't do it because I'm just like, if I'm going to send money home, I want to make sure at least like 90% of my money gets home. But that's a way that people do it. Most people have not had any complaints with it. That's one way. Another way is this new website called Swapsy. Swapsy is literally like you swap currency. And so you enter in your amount that you're trying to swap. So if you want to swap 1,400 kwai, which is 1,400 Chinese yuan, it'll tell you how much that equates to. And somebody swaps, you will find a match for you. It's kind of like dating. It's like a dating app in a way. Like it will match you. And then, you know, once you are matched, then obviously it has its fee. I think it's like 2.5% or something like that, which is super low. And you do the swap and then you have your money in your, either your Zelle account or your PayPal account. So, pro tip, if you are moving to China, just get yourself a PayPal account. Just pro tip. Have an American PayPal account. It will save you a lot of drama when it comes to transferring money. Third way, you can do what they call a wire transfer. Banks like ICBC, Bank of China, are like the two big prominent banks here that do wire transfers. It's going to cost you some money, and it's going to be a long process because there's a lot of paperwork that needs to be done. And so a lot of people kind of are like, and if you do not speak Mandarin, it becomes a like just a very long process. So a lot of people don't do it. If you have a Chinese friend and that's what you want to do, great. Encourage a wire transfer. I think people said if it's done before a certain time, you can get it that same day. If not, I think it's like 2 to 3 business days that you'll get your funds. So that's another way. Another common way with the expat community is we just ask to swap in WeChat groups. Hey, does anyone have USD that they want to swap for RMB? RMB is renminbi, which is the currency name. Does anyone have $200 that they need to swap for RMB? And that's literally people Cash App it, people PayPal it, people Zelle it. And that's just like a literally, now I would not suggest swapping that. If you have to swap like $600, I wouldn't suggest you swap it in a group. Maybe if you just need like $100, right? or you need $50, something like a small amount, then you could swap it in a WeChat group. Because everyone's usually looking to swap. Like, at least I can go through any of my group chats and literally almost once or twice a day, somebody's asking for a swap. So that's one another way. Another way, there is a guy here named Wynn. And Wynn, if you're listening, you kind of save the expat community. And he has a business and he does the swaps for you. And he charges 1%. Which is literally nothing. And you send it to Alipay. He gets it through Alipay. He sends it to you via Cash App, PayPal, or Zelle. And you have your money within minutes. So that's another way to get your money. The thing with Wynn is that he's not always available with the amount. But if you catch him, usually earlier in the morning, he got you. He's got you. So definitely those are some things to look into. Let me recap. When it comes to sending money, you can use Swapsy. You can use PayPal to PayPal. You can use a bank transfer. You can also use a friend. Or you can use my friend Wynn. He's pretty much if you say it in a WeChat group, everyone knows who Wynn is. So these are some of the things when it comes to money that you should know when living here. Listen, y'all, I'm telling y'all, when it comes to money, I wish I would have known certain things, especially when it came to like how much I was getting paid. Like, I was like, man, she played me for real. But it's okay. I call it a learning experience. I call it a learning tool. It is what it is. Now I know what to ask for in my future contracts. So that wraps up today's episode about money. If you have any questions, please follow me on Instagram. Please leave comments in the show notes. If you're on the Anchor app, you can leave me a voice note. That way I can interact with you all. And that wraps up today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, let's sip some tea.